It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. A special shout out to all my patrons and my channel members. Without you, things would be rough. Now tonight's story is about this father and his child plan a little local trip to a mountain to do some skiing at this resort. While they take this bus to get there along with others, they get into this big wreck on the mountain. And after this bus wreck and what they deal with and what they witness will terrify you. The deep woods is not safe. Now let's get spooky. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. It was snowing heavily today. Everything outside was covered with snow. Only the inside of the bus was mostly snow-free. The bodies of the dead passengers were still unchanged because of the cold. As I was lying in my sleeping bag and looking at the body of the little girl who was still holding her small teddy bear in her frozen hand, it reminded me of how I got here. Dad and I were going on a holiday to go skiing on a local mountain. It was not a very popular destination because it was too far from the nearest town, and it was a pretty remote area except for one small village. The driver was visibly in a drunken state when we entered, but we didn't want to wait for another ride to the mountain because the rides to get there were rare. We were asleep during the ride, only to be awakened by the screaming of the passengers as the driver couldn't react in time and drove off the road. We went rolling down the mountain and then everything went black. Looking back at it, Dad and I are lucky to have made it out alive and with minimal injuries. Can't say that the other passengers were so lucky. They were all dead after the wreck, including the driver. At first, we thought we would be rescued. We waited and attempted to endure as long as we could. We started a small fire using some wood we had found in the forest and some of the clothing from the deceased passengers, since they wouldn't be needing them anymore. We had some food with us, but it only lasted 3 days until we ran out. We melted the snow so that we could have some water. At this point, we realized no one is coming for us. We packed some of our stuff and tried to get out of this valley, but a snowstorm made our efforts futile. We were forced to make this bus our shelter until we find some way to get out of there. We tried calling for help using our cell phones, but there was no signal in this dang mountain. I sighed and got out of my sleeping bag as I saw the fire was out. Dad was not on the bus. He must have gone to get some wood from the forest, I thought, as I shook the snow off myself. I looked outside once again while rubbing my hands together to get them warm. I hope that Dad comes back soon. Being all alone with these bodies is getting me scared. I don't know why we kept them inside the bus and didn't just toss them outside. My thoughts were interrupted by the growling of my stomach. Still needing to eat something, I started rummaging through the bags that were still on the bus. There was no food in the bags, only clothing and some health products. Defeated, I went to the driver's seat so I could see Dad when he comes back. On the seat, I found a handwritten note. I picked it up and it was from Dad. He said that he was going on a hunt to get us some food, and he thinks he will be back by the end of the day. I chose to just burn some of the clothing of the passengers to keep myself warm instead of going outside the bus, because it was still heavily snowing. Hours passed and the night started to fall, but Dad still had not returned yet. What if he had gotten lost and can't find a way back? Should I go out and try to find him? All these thoughts were racing through my head, but I decided that it was safest to stay inside the bus and wait. Days have passed since Dad left, and I cannot hold out any longer without some food. I took my pocket knife and went outside to try to hunt for something, or maybe find Dad or his freezing corpse. I wandered aimlessly in the forest until I spotted a bunny. It was standing next to a tree stump. The bunny's fur was so white when it resembled a ghost. The bunny was looking at me. Its eyes were wide open. Then it ran off. I tried chasing it, but it was too fast for me to catch. I looked at it as it ran into the distance. I went back to the bus and just looked at my knife before putting it back into my pocket. Before going back to sleep inside my sleeping bag, I threw all the bodies outside the bus because they were all starting to creep me out. I had many nightmares in which the dead passengers came back to life and tried to eat me. And that night was no different. The nightmares always started out the same. I was just sitting on the bus by the fire, and the dead passengers would one by one come back to life and try to eat me. But this time, something was shaking the bus, and I heard my dad yelling my name, which is when I woke up. I looked around the bus and outside of it, and thankfully, the bodies were still there. I went back to sleep while holding the knife in my hand. The following morning, I went outside the bus to get some wood for the fire, which was getting difficult to find. Last time, I was only able to gather a couple of branches. A few meters from the bus, I found a pair of hoofs. It was of a deer that passed by last night. Too bad I didn't get to kill it. Would be nice to eat some deer. As I was entering the forest, I got a strange feeling in my gut telling me I should return to the bus. I decided to ignore it and continued. The forest was strangely quiet, not even birds were singing. While looking for wood in all of the snow, I saw something blue that caught my attention. I pulled it out, and it was my dad's jacket. But there was no sign of him. I searched and yelled his name, but there was no sign of him anywhere. It wasn't snowing last night, so if he was here, I would have found the footprints. Maybe some animal carried his jacket here. The jacket had a bizarre drawing on the back of it. It was some kind of animal. A deer, but it was standing on its hind legs. It was drawn in what looked like blood. Why would Dad draw this? I left the jacket where I found it and left back for the bus disturbed. It was night, and I was sitting by the fire trying to get myself warm, when I heard it. It was a noise that even I today cannot explain, but I will try my best. It was something like a human screaming, but more animal, if you could get what I'm trying to say. The first time the screaming lasted a couple of minutes. The second time it seemed to get closer. In a panic, I put out the fire and hoped that it wouldn't find me. The screaming also lasted a couple of minutes, but it suddenly stopped. I didn't move and just stood crouched down in fear. That's when I heard a knock on the bus's side. I got the same feeling in my gut when I entered the forest. Then I heard my dad's voice. "Honey, it's me, Dad. Are you okay?" "Dad, where have you been all this time? I thought you were dead," I questioned. Buddy stayed silent. "Like I said, I was looking for a safe way off this mountain, and I think I found it. Hurry up, we have to go now." His voice seemed in a rush, and his voice changed a little bit. Hearing this, I took my backpack and then I remembered the note. Something was not right. "Dad, didn't you go out for a hunt for food for us, as you said in the note?" And then there was just silence. Then something began to shake the whole bus. I was gonna die if I stayed inside, so I pulled out my pocket knife and jumped out of the bus window.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
I fell in the snow and I ran. It was night, so I just ran forward, not seeing anything in front of me. I heard the thing running after me. I don't know if it killed Dad or just used his voice, but it wanted to get me. I saw some lights in the distance. It was a cabin. I just hoped the door was not locked. Luckily, the door wasn't locked, and I rushed inside, and I quickly moved the cabinet in front of the door. The thing that was chasing me did not try to get inside. There was no sign of the owner. I don't know what to do. I'm so hungry. Part 2. A snowstorm has started outside, and I watched through the window looking for the monster. As long as the weather outside doesn't change for the better, I'm forced to stay inside this cabin. The fire was still burning inside the cabin, but the owner was nowhere in sight. I approached the fire so I could get myself warm. My hands were so frozen, I forgot I was still holding the knife in my hand. The knife Dad had bought me for my birthday last year. I wish he was here with me right now. I felt myself starting to cry, so I distracted myself by looking around the cabin. As I looked around the cabin, I noticed a map that was nailed to the wall. I approached the map to get a better look at it, and I saw that it was a map of the area. There was a village not far away from here. I don't know if there is anyone living in the village. Maybe it's abandoned. And with each passing day, the weather is getting harsher and harsher. But I will have to risk it and try to find help in the village. As soon as the weather outside calms down, I will go. My thoughts were disrupted by the growling of my stomach. I hadn't eaten anything in days. I searched the cabin trying to find anything to eat. I managed to find some bread. I devoured it in seconds. I think that the owner of the cabin won't mind. With my stomach full, I looked at the barricaded front door. I hope that the cabinet I placed will manage to stop the thing from entering inside. Feeling tired, I fell asleep on the carpet in front of the fire, where it was nice and warm. The night was quiet, and I felt safe inside the cabin. I was woken up by a noise. I thought it was just the wind that was raging outside. Just as I started to drift off to sleep, I heard it again, this time more clearly. It sounded like someone was trying to get inside. They were furiously pulling on the doorknob to get inside. Then they began to hit the door with such a force that the cabinet I placed in front of it started to slowly shift. Seeing this, I panicked. The monster was coming to get me. Fear took power over me. The only thing on my mind was that I needed to hide somewhere. I looked around and saw a closet and hurried to hide inside of it. As I was hiding behind some old jackets, hoping that it wouldn't find me, I remembered that I had forgotten my knife. The knife was on the carpet by the fire. I contemplated running out to go get it, but it was too late. I heard the cabinet falling to the floor and the door was opened. Cold air filled the cabin. It was so cold that I was shaking. I heard slowed footsteps pacing around the cabin from one room to another. I was relieved that it did not check the closet. The footsteps seemed to have stopped, and I couldn't hear them anymore. Maybe the monster gave up. I wanted to peek outside and check. But before I could even do that, the closet door was swung open, and a hand grabbed me by my neck and dragged me outside. I was lifted into the air and pressed against a wall. I expected to see the monster that was hunting me, but instead, I saw a man. His brown eyes looked furiously at me. His black beard almost turned white from the snow on it. He had a gruesome scar going across his face. Some animal must have given him that. He also reeked of cigarettes.
"What are you doing inside my cabin and hiding in my closet, you little burglar?"
he yelled, his grip tightening on my neck. "I was only seeking shelter from a snowstorm, sir," I said weakly, struggling to breathe.
"How stupid do you think I am? You entered my cabin, eat my food, you barricade my door, and I find you hiding inside my closet,"
he shouted angrily.
"But yeah, I forgot you were hiding inside my closet because of a snowstorm."
He started laughing, loosening his grip on my neck. I was baffled about how this man can change his emotions so quickly. One minute he was angry and about to strangle me, but now he was just laughing at my bad attempt to lie. The man continued to laugh for a while before getting his composure.
"Enough jokes. Tell me, what did you steal? Did you come here thinking that you would find gold?"
"Well, sorry to disappoint you, but that bread that you ate was probably the most valuable thing in this cabin." Then, without saying anything, he put me on a chair and effortlessly tied me up with a rope. To say I was scared would be a lie. I was terrified of this man that might be a psychopath. After he tied me to the chair, he walked to the fireplace and added wood to the already low flame. Then he turned around and spoke.
"And because of the weather outside, it's too dangerous to carry you to the police station myself. So, you'll be forced to stay here until then," he smirked.
Now that we had some distance between us, I could see him more clearly. He was tall with a muscular build and was still smiling like a psycho. I tried to think about how to get out of this situation. I could try to lie again, but since I failed the first time, I think there's no chance he would believe me. To try and run away is impossible because I'm tied to this chair. Do I just tell him about the bus wreck and how I got separated from my dad? I probably shouldn't tell him about the thing that had chased me here, and how it used my dad's voice. He already thinks I'm a burglar. I don't want him to think that I'm insane. But then again, he looks to be crazy himself already, so this could work. "Listen, I was in a serious wreck. The bus that I was on went off the road. All the passengers died except for me and my dad. Dad and I tried to survive and wait for help to arrive, but days passed and we ran out of food. So Dad went hunting. I waited for him on the bus, but he never came back." The man seemed intrigued as he pulled a chair and sat across from me, his face now serious again. I continued to speak.
"But one night, I heard someone knocking on the side of the bus, and I heard Dad's voice, but there was just something off about the way he spoke. I realized it wasn't my dad, but something else, and I had to escape. It chased me to this cabin, so that's why I'm here.
The man just sat there in his chair and looked at me. I know it sounds made up, but you have to believe me, I begged the man. The man didn't react to my begging. He was just deep in thought. He must think I'm insane and is too shocked to react.
Did you speak to it?
The man finally spoke, catching me off guard. I thought for a moment, and I remembered I did speak to it.
Yes, I spoke to it, but only briefly.
The man stood up from his chair.
Then you're in danger. It will stalk you until it can finally kill you and devour your flesh.
But why does it want to kill me? What is this creature? I asked the man.
It's a dark and evil creature. Some called it a demon, an evil spirit. But the most popular one is the Wendigo, the man said as he untied me.
I'm heading to a nearby village, and it would be safer for you to come with me. There, we can contact the police to inform them about the bus wreck.
All right, I will go, but what about my dad? He is still somewhere in the forest. He is in danger. We have to find him.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
If he was gone for so long, he might be already dead because the Wendigo was using his voice. When I heard this, I couldn't stop myself from crying. I knew that the possibility of him being still alive was small, but somewhere deep inside of me, I hoped that he was still alive. The man seemed to regret his poor choice of words. He put his hand on my shoulder.
I'm sorry for upsetting you. That was not my intention. There is still a chance that your dad could still be alive, but it's slim.
Listen, let's go to the village. We could get help there and organize a search party to find your dad.
Then we should hurry to the village, I said as I wiped the tears off my face.
The man nodded his head.
Give me a minute to pack a few things, the man said as he went into a room.
I still don't trust this guy, but with the Wendigo still out there somewhere, it's safer to go with him. I looked out the window and saw that the snowstorm had ended. This is good, I thought. It will make our travel to the village easier. As I turned around, I bumped into the man and fell onto the ground.
Are you ready to go? The man asked, giving me his hand to get up.
I am ready to go, I said as I took his hand and got up.
Are you sure? You seem to have forgotten something, the man said as he gave me my pocket knife.
Thank you for giving me back my knife. I took the knife and put it in my pocket. We went outside the cabin. It was daytime, so I could see the surrounding area that was outside of the cabin. The cabin was on top of a small hill, and it was surrounded by trees. Everything was covered with snow. It was like a place from a fairy tale.
Do we need the map? I asked the man. Don't worry, I know the way to the village. Just follow me, the man said, not turning around.
I followed him to the back of the cabin, and there was a sled covered with snow.
The man whistled and four dogs jumped out of the snow. They were huskies.
"Don't worry, they don't bite," the man said.
We got onto the sled and we were on our way. It was pretty exciting to ride a sled being pulled by dogs. The ride was silent. The man would only speak when he was giving commands to the dogs. We were going down a small path in the woods. Then, all of a sudden, a tree fell on the path. It almost hit us. We had to stop because the tree was blocking the way. I wanted to ask the man if we could still get to the village, but I noticed that he was looking just in one direction. I looked in the same direction, and that's when I saw it. It was tall, standing at about 12 feet tall. Its head had animal-like ears with antlers. Its desiccated skin pulled tightly over its bones. With its bones pushing out against its skin, its complexion the ash gray of death, and its eyes pushed back deep into their sockets and glowing like hot coals. It looked like a gaunt skeleton recently disinterred from the grave. What lips it had were tattered and bloody. Its body was unclean and suffering from suppurations of the flesh, giving off a strange and eerie odor of decay and decomposition, of death and corruption. It had long limbs, its fingertips gnawed off to expose the bones like claws and sharp and pointy teeth. I was about to scream in fear, but the man put his arm over my mouth and stopped me. He then whispered into my ear, "We have to leave the sled here. Just follow me, but don't run. You must walk. And whatever you do, don't look behind you." I just nodded my head in agreement, and we started to slowly walk away from the sled and off the small path. The dog started to whine as we moved away more. The man was calm and not as terrified as me, like if seeing this terrifying thing was nothing new to him. The Wendigo wasn't chasing us for some reason. How did he know it wouldn't attack us if we just walked away? I thought about what would happen if I went alone to the village. And then I heard someone.
"Honey, where are you going with that man?"
"Dad?" I turned around hoping to see Dad, but instead, I saw a shape running towards me. It was the Wendigo, and it was moving supernaturally fast. What transpired next was in like some kind of movie. The Wendigo pounced at me. The man tried to move me out of the way, but the Wendigo was too fast. The Wendigo managed to hit me, and the hit sent me flying into the air. I heard the man scream in pain, and as I fell onto the ground, I heard a loud bang noise and that weird animal-like scream. I laid on the ground, my back throbbing in pain. The man picked me up and yelled,
"We have to run!"
Even though I was in pain, I mustered the strength to run. I looked back for the last time and saw that the Wendigo was crouched down. It looked like it was hurt. It was being attacked by the dogs. One had even managed to jump on its back and was biting him furiously. I ran in the woods for what seemed like an eternity. When I noticed the man wasn't running next to me, I turned around and saw that he had fell on the ground. I ran to him and I could see he was bleeding. His blood was all over the ground, giving the snow around him a red color. I managed to get him up to his knees. He had a huge gash on his right arm, going all the length from his shoulders to his elbow. He was barely conscious.
"You're hurt. I have to stitch your wound or you'll bleed out. We won't be able to make it to the village in time,"
I said, panicked.
"There is a place," the man whispered weakly.
"The old hunter's cabin just past that creek over there."
I dragged the man past the creek and through some bushes. Then we made it to that old hunter's cabin. I tried to open the door, but it was locked.
"Darn it!
I have to find a way inside."
There was a chair next to the door, so I seated the man on it. While I looked for a way inside, I tried to open a few windows but had no luck. Defeated, I returned to the front door. There was a doormat in front of the door. It was old and worn out. I thought for a minute and I got an idea. I pulled the doormat from the ground and under it I found a single key. It had to be the key for the front door. I used the key and it unlocked the door. I dragged the man inside and locked the door after me. I laid the man on a bed. He wasn't conscious anymore. I had to act quickly. I took his jacket and shirt off. I looked at the gash on his arm. I had to stitch it up. I looked for a needle and thread inside the cabin and found them inside one cabinet. With a shaking hand, I held the needle and looked at it. I hated needles. I would always cry when I had to get a shot in the hospital as a kid. But Dad would always tell me to be brave and that would always calm me down. "You have to be brave," I said to calm myself down. It was my first time stitching someone up, but I managed to stop the bleeding. The man was now stable. He was sleeping, so I let him rest. The cabin was cold, but there was some wood in the crate next to a stove, so I started a fire. I don't know if the Wendigo will find us again. I hope to not have to encounter it again. When I dragged the man, he left a trail of blood behind us. But a snowstorm had started outside, so I hoped that it would cover the blood trail. Part 3. The relentless snowstorm showed no signs of abating, leaving the cabin's windows ensnared in a thick frost, obscuring any view of the outside world. My forays outside were reserved solely for collecting snow to melt into water, a vital lifeline in this desolate landscape. Amidst the harsh winter, our only pressing concern was the scarcity of food. The Wendigo, a fearsome and malevolent presence, made venturing out for hunting an unthinkable risk.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at COTA.com.
Shrouding us in a palpable sense of vulnerability. Moreover, the waning supply of firewood added to our burden, reminding us that time was rapidly slipping away, demanding decisive action. However, there was a glimmer of hope as the man had recovered from his injury, albeit carrying a permanent scar as a reminder of the harrowing ordeal. Seated at the table, surrounded by a haze of smoke from his cigars, the man's stern tone resonated with wisdom as he lamented my imprudent actions. Grateful for our survival amidst the brutal attack, he emphasized the gravity of the situation, highlighting the significance of the journey ahead. His determination to press forward was evident as he readied a formidable sawed-off shotgun, explaining its limited capability against the Wendigo, which could only weaken the malevolent creature, not vanquish it. The true way to defeat the creature, he revealed, was to burn its frozen heart, a perilous task that loomed ahead. In unison, we decided to set forth towards the nearby village, our only hope for sustenance and survival.
However, the unforgiving cold and the deep snow made every step a grueling struggle. As the chill seeped into my bones, the biting wind lashed against my face. I found myself lagging behind, unable to keep pace with the resolute man. Though I urged us to turn back, my pleas fell on deaf ears, and we continued onward. Despite my struggle to keep up, I eventually caught up to the man, only for him to halt abruptly, leaving me bewildered and anxious about what he had seen. As I approached, I discovered a grisly scene concealed beneath a blanket of snow. A human corpse marred by vicious bite marks, with its organs savagely torn away. The sight was a chilling reminder of the dangers that lurked in this desolate land. The man's cold and uncaring gaze conveyed a haunting detachment from the horror before us. Overwhelmed and nauseated, I had to step away, grappling with the stark realities of our predicament and the gruesome world we found ourselves in. We continued to the village, our hearts heavy with dread, fearing what awaited us there. As we entered the village, an eerie silence engulfed the air, broken only by howling wind. The houses stood empty, doors ajar, and the snow-covered streets were devoid of life. With every step, we encountered more corpses, frozen in grotesque postures, their lifeless eyes staring into oblivion. The village had become a graveyard, a testament of a calamity that had befallen its inhabitants. Among the dead, we found signs of struggle, claw marks on the buildings, and blood-stained snow. It was evident that a fierce battle had taken place, but it seems that the villagers had been overwhelmed by the malevolent force they faced. The man's stoic expression wavered. His eyes betrayed a sense of sorrow and guilt. He had hoped to find aid and supplies here, but instead, we discovered a tragedy of immense proportions. Amid the despair, we noticed a faint, flickering light coming from the village's chapel. Cautiously, we approached, and as we entered, we were met with a sight that sent shivers down our spines. In the center of the chapel, surrounded by candles, we found a grim scene of devastation. The lifeless bodies of the villagers were laid out, each with signs of a fierce struggle. The chapel had become a makeshift morgue, a haunting reminder of the malevolent force that had ravaged the once thriving community. The man and I stood in solemn silence, paying our respects to the fallen villagers. We knew they had fought valiantly against the Wendigo, but its power had proven too great to overcome. Realizing the enormity of the challenge ahead, we understood that the Wendigo was more powerful and cunning than we had ever imagined. The man's determination hardened, and he knew that our only hope lay in confronting the creature directly, even if it meant facing almost certain death. As the storm raged on outside, we huddled together in the chapel, preparing ourselves for the inevitable showdown with the Wendigo. We knew that the next encounter would be our last chance to put an end to the horror that had consumed the village and threatened our very existence. With heavy hearts and unwavering resolve, we readied ourselves for the ultimate battle that would determine the fate of not only ourselves, but also the souls of the villagers who had fallen victim to the Wendigo's malevolence. In the dim light of the chapel, we began our preparations for the imminent confrontation with the Wendigo. The man meticulously crafted traps and weapons using whatever materials we could find. He taught me the best way to use a shotgun against the creature, emphasizing the importance of precision and timing. As the hours passed, the man's stern expression softened occasionally, revealing glimpses of the camaraderie we had developed over the course of our harrowing journey. He shared stories of his past, of battles he had fought and lost, and of the people he had loved and lost. It became evident that he saw me as a surrogate family, someone he had taken under his wing in this bleak and desolate world. As we approached the fateful moment, our hearts pounded in unison with the storm raging outside. The man urged me to stay hidden during the initial confrontation, knowing that the window's focus would be on him. He had seen its power firsthand and knew the chances of survival were slim. I protested, not willing to let him face the creature alone, but he insisted, emphasizing the importance of my role in delivering the finishing blow when the time was right. We left the sanctuary of the chapel, venturing into the biting cold where the Wendigo lurked. The snow whipped around us, adding an eerie backdrop to the impending clash between humanity and malevolence. The man lured the creature into a trap, expertly using himself as bait. As the Wendigo charged at him with terrifying speed and ferocity, the man unleashed a barrage of shots from the shotgun, each one hitting its mark. But the Wendigo was relentless, and even with its heart weakened, it showed no signs of backing down. In the midst of the chaos, I found an opportunity to land a critical blow. With trembling hands, I aimed the shotgun, my heart pounding in my throat. But just as I was about to pull the trigger, the Wendigo veered towards me, its clawed hands reaching for my throat. I stumbled backwards, fear gripping every fiber in my being. The man, without a moment's hesitation, threw himself in front of me, taking the full force of the Wendigo's attack. I watched in horror as he was thrown aside like a rag doll, his body limp and motionless. Rage and grief surged through me, fueling a newfound strength and determination. Gathering every ounce of courage, I steadied myself, focusing on the Wendigo, my hands no longer trembling. As the creature turned its attention back to me, I remembered the lessons the man had taught me, and I fired the shotgun with precision, hitting the weakened heart of the beast. The Wendigo let out a spine-chilling howl, its frozen heart shattered, and it fell to the ground, writhing in agony. This was my chance to deliver the finishing blow. Summoning all my strength, I grabbed a makeshift spear nearby and thrusted it into the creature's heart, ending its malevolent existence once and for all. As the storm subsided, the silence that enveloped the village was deafening. The man, lying still on the snow-covered ground, had sacrificed himself so that I could have a chance to vanquish the Wendigo. Tears streamed down my face as I realized the cost of our victory. With a heavy heart, I whispered my gratitude to the man for all he had done, promising to honor his memory and the memory of the villagers who had fallen. I knew that the journey ahead would be lonely without him, but I also knew that his sacrifice had given me a chance to survive and carry on the legacy of hope and bravery in the face of darkness.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/TripPlanner.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy. It's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.